relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
All those who counted out, left behind, this is your campaign. Just over a week ago, many of the pundits declared that this candidacy was dead. Now we're very much alive.
Like the monster from the lagoon. Like Frankenstein's monster. People don't forget the doctor's Frankenstein. Not the monster. It's Frankenstein's monster. Biden is back. Like a zombie. We're going to use that music in the next hour, Shad. Nicely done. He took four of six states yesterday. Bernie gave a little speech. Oh, hi, guys. Sebastian Gorka here, America First on the Salem Radio Network. Bernie gave a little sad speech, took no questions. Not one. I thought he was a man of the people. What happened to you, Bernie? He took no questions. But he's not pulling out of the race. Must have felt uncomfortable. He stood in front of three American flags. I wonder if that felt weird for a man who honeymooned in the Soviet Union. We have an amazing, truly amazing show. I don't think we've had back-to-back Lord Conrad Black on the show and Victor Davis Hanson. It's going to be a zinger, my friends, as well as a man who is keeping the spirit of Andrew Breitbart alive, conservative actor and Hollywood director Nick Searcy, and you, my friends. The pandemic has been declared by the WHO. As one of our canny callers texted us yesterday, is it really a pandemic or a damn panic? That's the question that we will be uncovering, dissecting today, because this is the home of common sense. The anti-hysteria chill pills will be issued across the airways. Before we get to our first guest of the day, a surprise guest, I want to thank you guys for the incredible, incredible donations you have been making to feed the hungry, the children of Guatemala through our Food for the Poor program. We have an amazing audio cut from Alice Marino of Food for the Poor, who met with the mothers who are feeding or trying to feed their hungry children.
If I was born into poverty like that, would I have the strength to do what they do? And that, to me, just reminds me, God, thank you for bringing them to us so they can remind us and make us humble.
You know it's the right thing to do. God called us to be modern missionaries, and you're blessing these children with a donation at my website is the easiest way to answer that call. Just one figure, $27 a month feeds a family of four. $80 provides food and clean water for a child for a whole year. But any donation in any amount, all taxes are deductible. I thank you, and the starving children will thank you. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner. If you prefer, you can call them on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Or just go to my website,
This is the Easter season. Let's give back as much as we can. I thank you, and the children will thank you. Our first guest of the day, I'm breaking the rules. She's coming in the first segment of our three-hour show. Why? Because she delayed her flight back home. I'm sure it's going to be on an empty plane anyway, so I'm sure that doesn't matter. You'll probably be flying the only person on the plane. She is a person I was told has to come on the show. Why? Because she's doing amazing things across the country. Actually, is it true, Kimberly Fletcher, that you host Nebraska's only FM conservative talk station's weekend show on the home front with Kimberly Fletcher?
On the home front. Yes, it is.
Welcome to America First, then, my fellow radio colleague. My muse met you this week. And as soon as she heard you speak, she said, "Get this woman in the studio right now." Well, I listened to my muse because I'm a sensible man. Happy wife, happy life. Kimberly Fletcher, you have an incredible story of what you've been doing as founder, as president of Moms for America and executive director of the Moms March movement. But can you tell us the fascinating story of why you started being an activist, a conservative activist?
Absolutely. Well, and because I'm an activist, I just have to say that I'm like thrilled to be here, because not only is the great Sebastian Borka a conservative rock star, but you have the most awesome accent ever and the coolest dresser.
And it makes me sound smart, and people don't realize that means I'm dumber than I sound, but I'll take it anyway. Yes, it's all in the accent. But Kimberly, thank you for being so kind. So tell us the story. How did Kimberly become an activist?
So it was actually 9/11. I see you have this picture on your wall of the Twin Towers. It's something we don't see anymore. My husband was stationed at the Pentagon on 9/11.
Air Force, right?
Air Force, yep. And he was actually supposed to be in the very area where the plane hit. And
oh, really?
The day before, my daughter was suffering from asthma. And I took her to the doctors. They gave her prescriptions. And when I went to fill the prescriptions, they said that my insurance had expired. Military insurance doesn't expire.
Yeah.
But they're attached
Tri-care
to the
doesn't expire.
Right. But it's attached to your ID card.
Uh-huh.
And her ID card
oh,
had
no.
expired. So I called him on the way home and said, "Hey, could you stop and get her ID card before you go home?" So he said, "If I can get a very first morning appointment, because I have this really important meeting in the morning." So he called in and he said, "Yep, I got the first morning appointment. I'll take her to Quantico, get her card, and then head to work." So he did that, and the second plane hit the towers just as he was dropping off my daughter back to school.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he came
at the area where he was supposed to be.
Well, he wasn't at the Twin Towers at the Pentagon, but when the plane hit the towers, he knew immediately all heck was breaking loose in Washington, D.C.
Right.
So he came straight home. And by the time the second plane hit, everybody knew. Is not an accident.
Yeah.
So he came home and he called the shop, they call it, right away, and, you know, got a read and said, you know, "How's everything going?" And then after that, he went and watched the TV for about 10, 15 minutes. Every single one of those things that he did kept him from being there. So as he was just coming around the beltway, the plane hit and the smoke billowed out in the very area where he was supposed to be.
So what's your mission? That's an incredible story. What is your mission today as president of Moms for America?
My mission is exactly what changed my life that day. I went from being patriotic to being a patriot, and I dedicated my life that moment to ensuring that I did everything in my power to make sure my children remained free.
So what is it that your organization cares about? What are the issues that you're trying to get people to understand are so important?
You know, I heard you say something at a speech a few years ago, and it's exactly what we care about. It's about freedom. People try to separate the social issues from the fiscal issues and all that, but it's all about freedom, and that's what we care about. So if it's life, if it's liberty, if it's the economy, whatever it is, all issues are mom issues, and we're on a mission to reclaim our culture for truth, family, freedom, and the Constitution.
Well, God bless you for doing what you do. We've only got 2 minutes left with Kim Fletcher. Follow her. Proud Homemaker is her Twitter handle. Tell me one thing. Everybody keeps telling me that my old boss, President Trump, white suburban housewives hate him. Is this true?
No. I will say that too many suburban housewives are hearing more of what the media is saying he's doing instead of what he's actually doing. So when we start telling people what they're doing, they realize, oh, my gosh, he's doing what? And he has done more in my lifetime than any other president to protect life, to promote freedom, and to open economic opportunities for families.
Robert O'Brien, the national security, is that his name, the new national security advisor, just gave a speech at Heritage this morning. This is a career national security man. And in his speech today, my wife posted one quote: "This president has done more for this nation's security than any other president in my lifetime." Kimberly Fletcher, what is your message to the 2 million people across the country, the million people on my social feeds that are listening and watching you today? What is your message for the next 236 days?
I will quote my friend Rose Tennant, because I was having a trouble with the tweets too. The tweets were bugging me too. But she did a speech at an event, and it totally changed my life. And she said, "We didn't need a saint. We have plenty of them. We don't need a savior. We've got the one and only. What we needed was a bodyguard. And by God, that's what we got."
Wow. Good old Rose Tennant. I like that. And just to get perspective, El Rashbo pointed out something great today. He said, everybody beats the president over the head for how coarse, how rough, how mean he is. Has he ever, ever called one of America's citizens, a voter, at a public event, an individual who is full of excrement, as Joe Biden did 2 days ago in that factory? Has he? No, he hasn't. So where's the real blame to be laid?
It's time to get the politics out of things that shouldn't be political.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. We just got to win.
That's right.
As one of our new bodyguards, we can do it. Where can they find out more about you?
MomsForAmerica.us.
Moms for America. None of this .org.com. .us. And follow her right now at Proud Homemaker. I'm Sebastian Gorka, Lord Conrad Black, the one and only, with us next here on America First. Don't touch that dial.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
I do love music that takes me back. Some tunes like that, like the Avengers, they really do work like a TARDIS. We have a very, very special guest with us momentarily. He is the author of Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other. His name is Lord Conrad Black. Before we get to our guest, I want to quote for you what the president has just posted on Twitter. Three important posts with regards to the current situation and what he is doing about it. The first one is the following. America is the greatest country in the world. We have the best scientists, doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals. They are amazing people who do phenomenal things every day. Together, we are putting into policy a plan to prevent, detect, treat, and create a vaccine against coronavirus to save lives in America and the world. America will get it done. And then a standalone tweet. That was two tweets. Someone needs to tell the Democrats in Congress that coronavirus doesn't care what party you are in. We need to protect all Americans. Our guest, the author of that book, Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other, is, of course, Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now, Conrad M. Black, and check out his writings at the superlative website, American Greatness, amgreatness.com. Lord Black, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. Glad to be back with you.
Are you suffering from coronavirus, Wuhan virus hysteria in the northern provinces as well?
Only a sort of unpleasant reaction when I hear really ludicrous politicians trying to turn it into a partisan issue.
So is the general public a little bit more driven by common sense than those in the mainstream legacy media?
Yes. Look, we have some instances of it in Canada too, but on essentially a similar per capita basis to yours. But we don't have at this point people trying. You know, we're not having an election this year, and we don't have people whipping it up claiming that the leader of the government will have the lives of needless casualties and fatalities on his hands if he doesn't pull up his socks and listen to the likes of, well, we don't have the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in this country. We've got some fairly shabby politicians, but not quite of their standard.
So what is your reaction then as a man who knows President Trump, has negotiated with him, done business with him, who's an eminent historian, written presidential histories before your recent book on the current president, when you hear people like the person you just mentioned, the Democrat Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, just 2 days ago called the re-election of the incumbent 45th president the greatest, quote, existential threat to our civilization, Conrad?
I'm flabbergasted at the hyperbole these people engage in. I mean, we all understand that politics is a competitive game. As you're coming up to an election, if you can take a shot at your opponent, you do it. Nothing wrong with that. Democracy works that way everywhere. And a lot of humorous as well as absurd and sometimes outrageous things are said, usually by both sides or all sides. But for the Speaker of the House to speak like that, and some of the other things she said, you know, comparing him to a skunk whose masculinity was threatened and things, I mean, it's just completely irrational. But as has been widely commented on by people who know the phenomenon better than I do, there is a large number of people who, when the name Trump is mentioned, the cuckoo bird flies out of their head. I mean, sensible people, otherwise sensible people, become raving, babbling lunatics. And it is a particularly acute pandemic, to use the current terminology, amongst his political opponents. But I would have thought it was ineffective as well. I think these people would make a lot more mileage if I said, I disagree with the president for the following reasons, and then make the best case they can. But instead, we start from the premise, these people do, that Trump is an evil man and corrupt, dishonest in all respects, and dangerous, and with dangerous ambitions to violate the Constitution and mismanage the country, and is in any case incompetent and likely to lead the country and the world to ruin. And you start with that as your premise and take it from there. Well, you're not going to have any kind of sensible political discourse. But I guess this is the price we pay for changing from that seven-term Bush, Clinton, Obama period of gradual and then accelerating national decline. The United States went through a good period to have a bout of decline because you just won the greatest and most bloodless strategic victory in the history of the world with the Cold War. So if you're going, you know, we all have our ups and downs, countries like people. So if you're going to have a down, that was a good time to have it. But it had to end, and that's what Trump's doing. And I suppose he essentially, assuming he's reelected, he is really going to take the flamethrowers to the swamp dwellers, and that's what the country needs. Those people failed the country, and they have to be replaced.
Well, there's some very interesting things happening in the White House with the rehiring of some MAGA loyalists. So, God willing, that's exactly what's going to happen if the right thing happens in 236 days. We're talking to Lord Conrad Black. Follow him, Conrad M. Black, on Twitter, and check out all of his books. You have a perspective that straddles all the important geopolitical areas, whether it's finance, economics, media, and politics. So, you know, the question I'd ask you is, how do you look at the West's response to what's happened since December, when you have a virus that clearly is not as deadly as the common flu, and the idea that it's now labeled as a pandemic? Italy, I know the Italians, there will be no house arrest, voluntary or involuntary, put upon the Italians. What is Conrad Black's measure of our response to something that at the moment doesn't seem as dangerous as prior threats of a similar nature?
Well, my impression is the Japanese and the South Koreans have responded sensibly. They've kept it at the correct level of public concern while discouraging hysteria, and have been very quick to do what they can to contain it and turn turn the tables against it. These pop-up testing centers in South Korea and that sort of thing, and they've been sensible. Europe is varied. I think the British, as usual in any sort of a crisis, are cool-headed and sensible, and they take it in their stride, and even as a matter of mild amusement, the health minister appears to have contracted coronavirus. I mean, she's a healthy lady of early middle age, and her life is not considered to be in any danger. They're coping, and I think the French are coping well. Italy, they have a more severe case of it, and I rather admire the level of organization they're trying to apply to this. I mean, to take a country of 60 million and put the whole country essentially on shutdown. I mean, I don't think it's going to work, as you implied a minute ago, but I give them credit for at least a flamboyant response. I think the response in the United States is very heavily influenced by the current political climate.
Let's hold that thought. You have a new piece in Epoch Times we will discuss momentarily. Our guest, Lord Conrad Black, his book, Donald J. Trump, a president like no other. Stay here on America First. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you. Yes, indeed, Mr. President. If you're listening to this show, you're with him as well. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation and live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. And then we post all 3 hours on Instagram TV. Don't forget, the show is available 24/7 at our website, sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com. Breaking news just sent to me by John Solomon of Just the News. FBI's Russia collusion case fell apart in the first month of the Trump presidency memos show. Flynn collusion ruled out, Steele dossier debunked in January 17, more than 2 years before Mueller announced it. What an utter outrage. That's another reason to check out our current guest's book. It is Donald J. Trump, a president like no other, available where all good books are available. He is, of course, Lord Conrad Black. Follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. Welcome back, Conrad. You've just written a piece for what I call Epoch Times. They call it Epic there for some reason, but never mind. And it has to do with the political landscape that we left our listeners on tenterhooks on as we went into the break. We have the establishment victory yesterday, although the Bolshevik Bernie Sanders in his press conference today decided not to step down. What is Conrad Black's interpretation? Is it a revenge of the empire that a man who's been in politics for 44 years, failed repeatedly, seems to be the Democrat nominee for president?
Well, I think they're saving that party from the horrible defeat it would suffer if Sanders was the nominee. I mean, I've said before, I think if Sanders was nominated, Trump would take 65% of the vote, which would mean he would take every single state, not the District of Columbia. I mean, the swamp will hang in come what may. Yeah. But I think he would take every one of the 50 states, which last time that happened was 200 years ago with James Monroe, who ran without opposition. But I think we have to take our hats off to the powers that be in the Democratic Party for the efficacy with which they stepped in. Once they saw the full horror of a possible Sanders win, and they saw that Bloomberg wasn't going to make it, the only choice was to pick Biden up from the ground he'd fallen down to after the debacle in Iowa and in New Hampshire, and carry him across the goal line. But they did it with, I have to say, fine professionalism and skillful technique worthy of great leaders of that party in the past, like Roosevelt or Truman or JFK or LBJ. They really did a professional job. They sandbagged Sanders, got out the vote, and have got the nomination for a man who's not frightening. But with that said, Biden is simply not plausible as a president.
No.
He never was, and he isn't done.
So what's your prediction? Is it going to be a contested convention, or do we have these conspiracy theories of the 25th Amendment being enacted as soon as he's sworn in? What's Conrad Black's expectation for the future?
I think he'll be nominated on the first ballot. Neither party has gone beyond one ballot for over 80 years, you know. So I think you get Biden nominated easily on the first ballot, and a fairly raucous election campaign, but a clear cut victory for Trump. I would think he would win between 55% and 60% of the vote, and in the American electorate now, that's a margin of over 15 million votes. He could come close to or even pass Mr. Nixon's plurality of 18 million in 1972, but it was a much smaller electorate then, only 77 million. And so I think it will be a clear win for Trump, but not an absolute gutting and massacre of the Democratic Party that you would have had with Sanders.
Well, that's the one sad thing, maybe, that if it had been the man who honeymooned in the Soviet Union, it could have been an absolute trouncing. But we take nothing for granted, even with the man who's been a failed politician at the trough of the government for more than four decades.
A rotten borough. I mean, a senator term after term,
yes,
in a state that has fewer people in it than the suburb of any large city in the United States or Canada.
Indeed.
And on the basis of that, he crucified with the late Teddy Kennedy, poor old Robert Bork.
Oh, not only that, Clarence Thomas, an absolute outrage, the man who led the high-tech lynching against one of the most righteous individuals in modern politics, simply because he was black and a conservative. Our guest is Lord Conrad Black. Follow him at Conrad M. Black. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Back with our guest in a moment, but first, I need to ask you a very important question, given we have 236 days to go. How healthy are you, my friend? Are you taking your kale? Are you eating your leafy greens? If, like me, you're a meatitarian, you can't stand that stuff, I'm convinced it's made by Beelzebub. Do what I do. Take Balance of Nature instead. Balance of Nature is what I do before the show. Six little capsules, three red for fruit, three green for vegetables. And when I take that, I'm taking 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, thanks to the good graces and offices of Dr. Douglas Howard. You should be taking it as well. Go to balanceofnature.com, use my name, and get 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. You can call them on 800-246-8751. That easy number, write it down, 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com. And when you order it, added bonus, you get free access to a health coach at the end of a phone line. Order it today. What have you got to lose? I take it, so should you. Balanceofnature.com, balanceofnature.com. Back with the one and only Lord Conrad Black.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
In the spirit of Rudyard Kipling, you've got to keep your head when everybody else is losing theirs. And as such, let's plan a little vacation. Let's go on holiday. Join me in December for the Stand With Israel 2020 tour. December 2nd to 11th, we're going to visit 440 sites of historic cultural and faith importance, from the ancient city of Jerusalem to modern Tel Aviv and the Sea of Galilee. It is a trip you do not want to miss. Join me and Mike Lindell
for the excursion of a lifetime. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com, sebgorka.com, and click on the Stand with Israel 2020 tour. Today is a very exciting day. In the second hour, we'll have Victor Davis Hanson with us. Right now, we have the author of Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other, Lord Conrad Black. You can follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, the question that I perennially come back to is the long-term effect of having a non-politician who became president the first time he ever ran, leaving office. If the president gets reelected, God willing, this November, and he has a second term, a full 8 years, draining the swamp, culling all the sacred cows in the establishment, what is your expectation as a watcher of these things? Can the establishment, can the GOP rhino squad, can the left bounce back? Can it snap back like an elastic band? Or will the real estate mogul from Queens have changed American or perhaps Western politics for good?
I think the key, Sebastian, is who succeeds him as a Republican leader. I think Mr. Nixon, if he hadn't gotten into that Watergate mess and mishandled the way he did, was going to really clean house in the second term with the big mandate he had, and he'd settled the great problems. You know, he'd ended the Vietnam involvement while maintaining a non-communist government.
Yes.
Triangulated great power relations, and he was ready to do it, and then Watergate blew up. And I think it was not in President Reagan's nature to do the kind of weed killing and
bloodletting
people.
Yep. Yep.
You know, he won the Cold War. He induced a great state of prosperity, but he was a very benign personality, not a fierce person who was attacked by Nixon and Trump were and have been. And I think I'm not a disparager of George Bush. He was a fine man who served the nation, but he wasn't any kind of a fanatic. You know, he wasn't any kind of a highly purposeful, policy-oriented person. He was a man who wanted to serve the country in its highest office, having served in many lesser offices. And under him, it all went terribly wrong. And essentially, all of those elements that President Reagan had to overcome to bring on the prosperity he did and win the Cold War came back. And I think because Mr. Bush Sr. lost control of his party and allowed Ross Perot into
yes.
20 million votes, we got the Clintons. So we had the Bushes and the Clintons back and forth, and it was just a series of coincidences. If the successor to President Trump after 8 years is someone who firmly carries out what he will be doing, will have done, then I think we could probably reach a consensus with the center of the field, if you'll pardon the sports metaphor, moved much more in a much more sensible direction from where it has been. And the Democrats will have to live with that, and then they'll produce candidates that accommodate that. But if Trump leaves and the Republican leadership falls into the hands of people who are really not alert to those issues, then we'll get that backward drift into an unresponsive government from the Washington in circle, from Georgetown and the Maryland and Virginia suburbs, and it becomes a sort of ingrown culture that is in some ways anti-American.
Yes, we're talking to Lord Conrad Black. Follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. And the last minute we have with you, Conrad, if I may, is it a requirement for that China-breaking Trump approach to be continued that next candidate also has to be somebody who's from outside the swamp? Or do you see some likely candidates amongst those who've supported the president's agenda in the last 3 years?
And I think either will do. In politics, as in other things, we must accept the grace of conversion. I mean, there's plenty of proof to its sincerity. So if it's a reformed former swamp dweller, they can be, if anything, more zealous
yes.
and thorough. in that sort of work than those who are have always been true believers. So, I don't want to sound too ideological here. I think you just all you want is a patriotic American who cleaves to the traditional values of the country and enforces them and does not become distracted and tempted by the idea of redistributing money in exchange for votes, just essentially taking money from people who've earned it and giving it to those who haven't, irrespective of their need or merit, in exchange for their votes, while in the world conducting a foreign policy that implies that the United States is part of the problem and not the solution.
Yes.
And yeah, that's all we need. But it's easy to formulate, but it's not so easy to do in those surroundings.
What a way with words. We need to accept the grace of conversion. Yes, indeed. And perhaps somebody who's been inside the swamp could be even more effective in draining it. We've been speaking to my favorite authors. He is a regular contributor at American Greatness, amgreatness.com. His latest article is The Greatest Fear is Fear Itself. Historian, columnist, financier, and author of the book, Donald J. Trump, a president like no other. Follow him on Twitter, Conrad M. Black. Thank you, Conrad. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Sebastian.
This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. If you enjoy this show, you know what to do. Subscribe to the podcast where you get your podcasts and join my cabinet today at sebgorka.com. We will be back with your calls on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Broadcasting from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor, a truly amazing product. I am now 3 weeks from my knee surgery and taking no regular painkillers, in spite having my knee drilled into more than once and having a nice 10-inch scar above my patella. How am I doing that? With this incredible natural product that has no negative side effects and affects pain relief by attacking the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. Tens of thousands of Americans have been liberated from daily aches and pains because of Relief Factor. You could be the next one. Find out how. Find out if it can work for you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95, less than a dollar a day, to find out if you can have Relief Factor liberate you from your daily pain. Don't hesitate, as the president says at his rallies. What have you got to lose? You deserve it. Order it today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. The 3-week quick starter pack will be at your door in 3 days or less. Do it now. Your calls here on America First on 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. And our PatriotMobile.com text line, 703-869-1262. That's 703-869-1262.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Let's go straight to your calls. Our buddy in Columbus, Ohio, JR, line one. Welcome to America First.
Hey, Dr. G. Great interview there. I need your advice on something. How in the world can Trump lose to anyone right now on the Democratic side? And am I missing anything? Because my wife and I think that if Biden gets the nomination, they're going to have to stick him at his house for the next 6 months and then bring him out the week before the election.
It's going to be like the Bloomberg ads that he spent $500,000 on that don't actually have Bloomberg in the ads. It's going to be like that. You know, I really, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or if I should say this. I feel so superstitious right now. There are moments every day or every other day where I catch myself, JR, going, you know, this is crazy. After the last 3.5 years, how could he possibly lose? But then I think and I stop and I look at the last 3.5 years and I look at FISAgate. I look at Russiagate. I look at the Mueller probe. I look at Stormy Daniels. I look at Michael Cohen. I look at on and on and on the Ukraine phone call.
If there is a dirty tactic that hasn't been invented by the left, they will invent it in the next 236 days, and they will deploy it against this president. So, you know, half of me, I'm conflicted because I want to say, come on, guys, how is the silent majority that elected this man 4 years ago not significantly larger in the last 3 years? But then I remember. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, all my friends that I know, nobody is letting their guard down. I'm not saying that. I'm seeing more and more people that would never even have considered to vote for a president.
Yeah, I think that's right. But at the end of the day, it's a bit of an oversimplification.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's a bit of an oversimplification. But it is true that elections are about mobilization, JR. And the question, look at the midterms. The midterms were absurd. How did the Republicans lose the House? That's absurd. But why? Because we took it easy. We didn't work at it. We got back to our businesses. We're making great money. Your good-for-nothing son-in-law got out of the basement, got a job. So we didn't mobilize. Now, what Brad Pascal's doing on the campaign, the incredible data mining and registering voters, former Democrats, people who've never voted before, that's promising. But I know one thing, JR. The left knows how to mobilize. Their ideology is collectivist. It is the antithesis of rugged individualism. Therefore, they will bus people. They'll have phone chains. And we cannot sleep for a second. And we have to outmobilize them as well. Great point, JR. Keep calling. Don't be a stranger. Our number here, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. 1 hour down, two to go. And next, Stanford University's strategic giant, Professor Victor Davis Hanson.